This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2180. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition, recorded March 2nd, Andorra, Antarctica, Australia, Brazil, Canada, Chile, China, Guatemala, Iceland, Indonesia, Korea South, Kurdistan, Mexico, Myanmar, Peru, Slovakia, Solomon Islands, Turkey, UK, USA, Vanuatu, Vietnam, unidentified, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Andorra non. Christian Gibodo tells the British DX Club there will be another monthly broadcast of Aquí Radio Andorra, Sunday, March 5th at 17 to 18 UT via Austria on 6180. This is from an archive of 1979, Radio Andorra Carte Blanche of Sheila. More activity from LRA 36 Antarctica and using the same transmitter, ham operations from Esperanza Base. We got some advance notice via Horacio Negro that the ham station LU1ZV would be active from 22 UT February 24th on 14336 USB, 1 kilowatt. We managed to hear that via the usual remotes in Argentina. It was sort of a broadcast about the Esperanza base rather than two-way contacts, but those followed later. The first broadcast or transmission on that ham frequency was in Spanish, but at 2300 they did it again in English, starting off with the CWID, and then talk about the first Antarctic communications in 1927 and so forth. That lasted only about 12 minutes, and then it was into two-way contacts immediately back in Spanish. And scheduled for the following day, Saturday, a regular broadcast on 15476, as they call it. I was hearing that with a late sign-on at 2016 UT on the usual exact 15475.98 reduced carrier USB. Alan Rowe in Teddington, UK was hearing something very faintly on that frequency at 2105 in USB. Tentatively, Radio Nacional Arcángel San Gabriel says, if so, this would be my first logging of the station on my own receiver. Via the remotes, I was hearing that signing on at 2016 UT. It was supposed to last until perhaps midnight UT, but they were still going into UT February 26th, Sunday. At midnight 17, I checked my own receiver, and I was finally getting LRA 36 direct. It was barely above the noise level, S3 to S5, mostly with music. It's been years since I've last logged them direct. And this broadcast kept going and going until sign-off at 0300. Walt Samaniv in British Columbia says, it came in surprisingly well, amazing reception for 1 kilowatts. I was using his remote setup at Masset, British Columbia, Haida Gwaii Island, off the back end of a 290-degree DCAS antenna, he says. I point out that far west, most of the path is transoceanic over the Pacific, not hitting land until California and Oregon.
Desde la base Esperanza, Antártida, Argentina, transmite LRA 36, Arcángel San Gabriel, Española. De 15,476 kilohertz, más todo.
And they went on to say that the next broadcast would be the following Wednesday at 21 UT. And so it was, but again, signing on a bit late, we heard it at 21:10 via a remote on March 1st. It cut off about half an hour later, but others reported it resumed, which is unusual. And furthermore, another broadcast was forecast, according to Horacio Negro, for Saturday, March 4th, another six-hour span starting at 21 UT. Gary Pence, KM5X in Texas, reports hearing Shortwave Australia 2310 via the remote in Adelaide, South Australia, about 300 miles away from Bendigo, Victoria, the station's location. This was on February 24th. At 1908 UT, they put an audio ID of their own over the station they were relaying at the time, which was, of all things, WIRL 1290, which is in Peoria, Illinois. Don't know if that was something current or a classic recording. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard has been monitoring direct another low-power private Australian station on 5045 Bay Islands Radio in Queensland. February 24th was another day of non-stop pop songs at 11:15. And on February 25th, he says, there was no signal, maybe not broadcasting, checked at 12:55. But he was hearing them on February 26th, tune in at 08:47 already with pop songs. He says, the best ever reception since reactivation. And there was a positive ID. It's a relay of Island FM, apparently. Very respectable reception for a low-powered station until tuned out at 11:20. And then on February 27th, Ron Howard reports, 5045 Bay Islands Radio, relaying Island FM, suddenly starting at 08:39 in mid-song. There's interference after 09:40, probably from China on 5050. Tune out at 10:50 after another day of nicely above threshold level reception. And one more from Ron Howard, the other Queensland station, on 5055, Radio 4KZ. He noted going off the air at 11:57 UT, both February 18th and 20th. The frequencies of Radio Voz Missionaria Brazil vary slightly, but here's where Gary Pence pinned them via the remote in Utah on February 24th at 0710 UT, 5940.027, 9665.008, and 11749.984. Tony Pavick in Hope, British Columbia, produces the program Pop Shop Radio. He posted on CIDX via Mike Terry, we are ready for our special DRM test transmission on Sunday, 5 March, at 20 UT on 5875 with 85 kilowatts from Wolverton, UK. Direct reception reports and those using SDRs are welcome. This is directed to Europe, so it should not make it to the USA and Canada. The DRM newsletter adds, Pop Shop Radio specializes in well-known pop music from the 60s and 70s, or even before that. Claudio Galas in Chile reports on the Chilean Pirate, RCW, on 6925 AM. On March 1st at 2045 to 21 UT, they are relaying a Radio Festival 1270 AM with music, ads, and ID. That legal AM station is in Viña del Mar. Ron Howard reports on China, 5050 Beibu Bay Radio, had a two-minute segment in English at 1505 UT. It was explaining about the Zhuang ethnic group attending the famous 100 Families Banquet. So on 6035, PBS Yunnan has a Vietnamese broadcast at 13 to 1330. But after that, it was heard with multi-language IDs, including English, as Yunnan International Radio. These are on February 25th. Here we go again, the inactive Guatemalan station on 4055 Radio Verdad. Its manager, Dr. Edgar Amilcar Madrid, has been trying to make a deal to broadcast his shortwave frequency via satellite worldwide. Yes, that doesn't make sense to those of us who know a little bit about it. HF via satellite rather than super high frequencies. Anyhow, there were some supposed test broadcasts. He got a report from China in perfect Spanish saying they'd picked it up via the remote in Chile, but he thought it was heard in China. Nor was it at the specified time. If a legitimate DXer ever reports Verdad on 4055, especially in the daytime when it would not propagate from Guatemala, we may have to reconsider. But how come these things are never publicized in advance to the DX world? Well, he did subsequently issue an advance notice of a test coming up, starting February 28th at 22 UT and lasting perhaps 12 hours. But nothing was heard by anyone, either directly or via remotes, except perhaps some utility interference around 4055. Another problem he doesn't understand is that that frequency would have to be clear worldwide for this to work. The thing he's been paying, it seems, more than 1,000 quetzales to is something called network transmissions, or transnational network transmissions. Guess what? We cannot find any presence of that by that name on the web. the Emmanuel Menes the following day, March 1st, this excuse in translation. We had problems with network transmissions. They didn't open the channel for us because they had not received the payment money. We're waiting for it to be enabled. Let's wait and I'll report. Well, that's enough time spent on this fantasy. There have been numerous reports about Iceland turning off and demolishing one of its long-wave frequencies, 207 kHz at Eiðar, via Tom DF5JL. They were sending a loop about ending transmissions, according to Guido Schottmanns in the Benelux DX Club. It was the third tallest structure in Iceland. However, they found that long wave is no longer available on many radios, and they've been replacing the long wave coverage with FM, although we doubt it would extend very far out to sea like long wave. Now, video of the tower being demolished and collapsing have been posted on the RUV website. Stephen C. Wood on Cape Cod says, 207 was rare here on the East Coast, whereas A189 is heard nearly every night at differing levels, but normally pretty good signals. And 189 is not yet scheduled for demolition in Iceland. On the far other side of Canada, Walt Samaniev says 189 is almost nightly visiting Masset, whereas 207 would be very rarely heard. Further reports from Ron Howard in California on RRI Nabiri, Indonesia, 7289.93. On February 20th, it says it cut off at 0807. On the 21st, there was Fire Dragon jamming at 0731 to off at 735. And then some more pulsating jamming. After 7:41, it was in the clear with upbeat music. Bill cut off at 0850. February 23rd, no signal at all around 0807. February 26th, heard from 0805 until off at 0812 with easy listening songs. The cutoff time really varies from day to day. On February 27th, it was heard from 0805 till off at 0814. Cutoff in mid-song. Ron Howard updates us on the clandestines from South to North Korea. Voice of Freedom, now back on alternate frequency, 5920. February 23rd, tune in at 0735 with open carrier, signing on at 0753 with music, a gong rung three times. Voice of Freedom ID and the ROK Choral National Anthem, FM frequency announcements, and a singing station jingle, and a time check for 5 p.m. Korean Standard Time with time pips. And he gives all the program names and translation to English until 10:50, while the former frequency 6045 still had strong North Korean jamming. On February 24th, 5920 was again heard with Getting to Know Human Rights at 12:15, but no jamming. Now about Echo of Hope, abbreviated VOH. On Thursday, February 23rd, it continued to make no frequency changes since January 12th. 4885, 6250, and 9100 were heard in parallel at 0737 with a TV audio feed for an English language lesson. But on 9100, North Korean jamming started at 743. On February 24th, the frequencies at 1245, besides the ones just mentioned, were 3985, 5995, 6350. Same on Sunday, February 26, 1126, until 1150. There was a program of English language lesson reading a portion of Chapter 12 of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone with lengthy explanations in Korean. Same program heard 4 hours earlier on their loop at 726, when there were only three frequencies on. Other station, VOP, Voice of People, February 24th at 1247 remained on 3480, 3910, 3930, 4450, 4560, 6520, and 6600. Ivo Ivanov, Observer Bulgaria, reports three different frequencies in a row from Denge Weylat in Kurdish, that's the clandestine for Kurdistanish Turkey, transmitted from Uzbekistan, and they're all slightly off frequency. 10-11-45, 11-549.8. From 1145, 11579.8, and from 1345, 11529.8. In the NASA flash sheet, Ralph Wisperi in Illinois reports only 11579.9, February 22nd at 1241 with no jamming. On February 23rd at 1321, it was buried under a strong signal, mainly open carrier presumed, Radio Recep Erdogan the Turkish jammer, finally meeting up with its prey. Mark Taylor in Wisconsin was also hearing both the station and the jammer, February 24th at 1353. Yeah, kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2180, a non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Kelly Sprout, KB3LR in Hughesville, Pennsylvania, who sent a postal money order to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Luis Esquivel in Pomona, California says he was getting Mexico's Radio Educación very well on 6185 on UT February 27th when they were running their DX program Sintonía Libre at 0449 to 0510 UT, one of the themes being making radio via internet of all things on a DX program. A few weeks before, he had sent them a reception report and got what appears to be an automated generic reply. That is, they had received his report. The reply was accompanied by an illustration which looks like a business card illustrating 2023, Año de Francisco Villa. In the NASA flash sheet, Ralphus W. Perry in Illinois reports Myanmar radio via Naypyidaw 5915 before and after 13 UT on February 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, ranging from poor to fair to fair to surprisingly good on the last date, music ranging from mellow regional instrumental to schlocky pop music to sentimental ballads. Also traces of a second station way underneath, perhaps CRI in Mongolian. Sometimes I have a barely audible carrier on 4810, such as 0743 March 2nd, or 0434 UT February 23rd, presumed to be one of the few Peruvian shortwave stations left, Radio Logos in Chasuta. It's supposed to be off the air overnight, but they may leave their carrier on. Ron Howard found a website not mentioned in WRTH with more details. It's a missionary station, saying it broadcasts in 11 of the 17 languages in its listening area. It's serving the neighboring department of Loreto, a remote area in the Amazon. The hours are 10 to 12 UT and 21 until 03, as in the IB schedule, and the website shows which language at which hour. Still listen later to hear some modulation, such as at 10:33 UT, February 24th, Mark Taylor in Wisconsin, NASA flash sheet, reports presumed Radio Logos in Quechua or another regional language. A cappella indigenous singing, sounding non-professional. They record live programming of local church groups. Listening is tough because of Kodarsh Richards, and on the plus side of 4810, Stanag utility noise. In the British TX Club, Paul Gaga refers to the website of Radio Slovakia International. Our 2023 edition of QSL cards are all united within the main motto, 30 years of Slovakia, 30 years of RSI. They depict important buildings in the Slovak capital, Bratislava. Of course, RSI may be easily heard in North America thanks to WRMI relays. But here's the list of the six QSLs and their buildings. 1. Slovak Radio Building. 2. National Bank of Slovakia. 3. Bratislava Castle. 4. Residence of the President. 5. Government Office. And 6. The National Council of the Slovak Republic. Von Harrod reports on Voice of the Nation, Solomon Islands, 5020 SIBC. On February 26, after 09 UT, it was off the air, clearly silent, nor showing on their alternate frequency 9545. However, the next day, February 27, 5020 was back on the air. From Alan Holder on the Isle of Wight, February 26. Voice of Turkey seems to have completed engineering work on its shortwave transmitters and audio feeds. All 5 senders at Emilair, including the Erdogan jammer, are now free of the Optimod squeal, low modulation and hum, which had previously affected 3 of the transmitters for quite some time. Sound quality has also improved considerably. For many years, excessive audio processing of the foreign language broadcasts made them sound clipped with minimal bass frequencies, while the TSR Turkish program has always had a richer sounding audio. He says it's a mystery to me why the 2300 English program on 5960 is missing on some days. It could be due to overnight engineering work on the transmitters. And even when the 2300 broadcast is on the air, I've noticed lately that the opening and closing announcements only mention 3 times for English, not including this one, 1330, 1930, and 0400. John Collins in Birmingham, UK reports, the voice of Turkey, 1930 UT broadcast, March 2nd, in English, news on the earthquake, with excellent reception, including the audio, using only a built-in whip antenna. Chris Greenway says, my BBC World Service colleagues are requesting observations of jamming of certain transmissions from listeners in the target areas of South and Southeast Asia. Send observations to worldservice.letters@bbc.co.uk and be sure to say where you are listening. Here are those transmissions to check. 11945 at 10 to 12 GMT, 12065 at 12 to 13, 15310 at 01 to 02, 5980 at midnight to 01, and 9580 at 10 to 12. Dan Robinson forwards a story from Detector Media, February 23rd. Harry Knyagnitsky, who used to work at NTV producing propaganda reports about Russia's war on Ukraine, currently works at the Russian service of Voice of America. But is he under the news agency's strict editorial supervision, as they claim? The Kiev Post also reports on this. Employees rebelled at U.S. news outlet VOA for hiring journalists with pro-Kremlin records. VOA spokesperson Nigel Gibbs told the Kiev Post, VOA Russian management was made aware of the work of Harry Knyagnitsky and of another person, Daria Davidova. They looked at articles produced by both journalists. Working as a journalist in Russia can be difficult given the restrictions and threats that come from government officials. Given this context, management was satisfied that both can make a strong contribution to the VOA Russian service. And like all other VOA journalists, their work goes through the standard VOA editing processes. John Filiozzi replies, I'm of two minds. On one hand, why hire this guy when viable alternatives are available? But on the other, I can't think this is the first instance of VOA or RFERL employing an expatriate journalist who at one time worked for state media in a speech-repressed country. It could be argued his experience with producing propaganda is useful in the fight to counter it. Too many people are calling on too many people to be fired these days. If this journalist is under editorial control and has truly had a change of heart or never really believed what he was putting out and always looking for a way out, that would seem to be enough. Our evening broadcast on WA0RCR, 1860, Missouri, of World of Radio, is normally at 0415 UT Sundays, soon to be 3:15 during DST. It has started as late as 0600, and last week I found it had started early at 0345, so it was already over if you tuned in at 0415. So keep that in mind. Start checking as early as 3:45. UT Sunday, February 26th at 0411 and later, I noticed that KVOH, California, was missing again from its weekend-only schedule. Nothing on 9975. George McClinock has managed to get his second frequency going in the daytime for WTWW, 9475. Same transmitter as in the evenings on 5085. He says the nominal schedule is 21 to midnight UT on 9 and midnight to 0530 on 5. Ben Cobb of Experimental Radio News says DPA Mac's latest arguments to the FCC have escalated in size and scope their lobbying. I believe shortwave radio normally receives very little FCC attention. HF broadcast may even be unknown to many current FCC staff, but it appears DPA Mac's proposals have raised novel legal and technical issues requiring higher-level FCC brain power to process. And he goes on to name the FCC personnel, which are now dealing with this according to FCC records. Also, the company now names Kyiv, Ukraine in its presentations on signal coverage. It may be betting that DRM broadcasting to Ukraine will make its license application more attractive to the FCC and to any congressional representatives the company may have enlisted to press the FCC for favorable action. The KDWN 720 DX test from Las Vegas, Nevada, UT March 1st at 0800, was fairly widely heard by those not too close to WGN, including myself. but they did not go off the air permanently immediately after that and were still on the air the next day. Their sibling station on 1140 was also reported to be testing. That's KXST, the next night 07UT. However, I had heard nothing from that at all, but I was hearing instead on 1140, a station which has a long history of operating at night, even though it's a 10-kilobaud daytimer, KZMQ, Good Time Oldies, in Grayville, Wyoming. Happened to catch WWL 870 New Orleans, running 19 minutes of dead air, February 24th at 0705, allowing the Cuban wobbler to be heard clearly without interference. Sean McHenry, KB8JNE, comments on lack of FCC enforcement on the Citizens Band. The multi-tens of thousands of dollars they stand to make per illegal station in fines and forfeitures would have brought in tons by now. Collecting a few fines a month would have paid for extra staffing to do a better job. Licensing fees would work if there was proper policing of the system. They don't allow AM or FM broadcast piracy, so why allow it anywhere else? They eliminated all fear when they gave up overseeing the entire service and its millions of users. It's a wasteland where literally anything goes. I carry forward the Radio World story of February 24th. Senator Ed Markey says removal of AM radio from vehicles can create a serious risk to public safety. Despite what automakers wrote in their reply to him, the National Association of Broadcasters says it has had a productive dialogue with car makers about this issue. We know automakers do not want to alienate the nearly 48 million Americans who listen to AM radio each week. See also the Wall Street Journal of February 27th headline, Electric Vehicles Need AM Radio, Former Emergency Officials Argue. Radio Vanuatu continues to be an important source of warnings about tropical cyclones. In fact, there have been two of them now, starting with J and K. 7260, the main frequency, we usually hear after 07UT, but on at many other hours. It was missing, however, on March 1st, but back on the 2nd. If you can't hear them well enough on shortwave, even via remotes, they do have a live stream, says Tony Rogers, www.vbtc.vu. Of course, we can easily hear Radio New Zealand Pacific, which includes such things, 13755. February 28th at 07:30, I was listening to that during the Melanesian update, warning about Cyclone Judy. It was in Pidgin, but with plenty of English terms. Ron Howard in California reports the Vietnamese coastal station on 8812 USB. The acronym in translation means Vietnam Maritime Communications and Electronics. On February 24th, they had 2 minutes of Vietnamese at 12:33, and then 2 minutes of English at 12:35. As of February 25th, Randy Holt, WB9LUR, tells me he'd been hearing a very weak signal on 2580, opening at 0755 UT, very likely a second harmonic of 1290 or a third harmonic of 860. We've also heard a JBA carrier, but not much lately. Propagation outlet from SWPC, ANKNC speaking at 18 and 5 on March 6th. Lesser but active conditions likely on March 5th, 7th, 15th, and 25th. Solar flux rising from 140 March 4th to a peak of 180 March 17th and 18th. And so concludes World of Radio 2180. With many thanks to all our stations and contributors, Glenn Hauser inviting you to hear me again next week with a standard disclaimer.